The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
What an honor it is for me to have David Fisher, who's the producer of what looks to me like it's going to be an exciting and maybe even groundbreaking movie for this whole thing of the sight and the doctors, what this miracle that happened in a doctor's life from China. It's going to be an amazing story that comes this May, I understand, right? David Fisher is with me. He's the producer. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. It's an honor to be with The Shepherd.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Our owner's wife saw the screening while we're here at the NRB, and she just went crazy about it. She just thought it was marvelous.
That's awesome.
And she came to me, she goes, if there's any way at all, do you think you could squeeze in another interview? And I said, absolutely, let's do it. And so I got your contact. You're so gracious to come over, and we appreciate that. This looks beautiful. Tell us about the company, first of all. Just give some details about the movie.
Absolutely. Well, first off, taking on a feature film project is a feat in and of itself, right? So just beginning the journey and the process of putting an actual story together that both, especially on a biopic where you're making a story about a real person's life who's actually alive, to be able to walk through that process, engage the story, but still make it cinematic, make it a story that can appeal and take people on a journey so they don't just feel like they're spectators of someone else's life, but that there are elements in this story that hit your life, mm-hmm. and your family's yeah. life. That is a responsibility as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, that I will never get tired of. Mm. It is an exciting journey. It's an adventure. I've got to imagine in a lot of ways it's what the true shepherd did.
Yeah,
he found ways to tell stories that everyone could find themselves as the protagonist or the antagonist in that story, and it changed lives. That's what we hope to do at my company, Open River Entertainment.
You know, this is a day in which you're having more technological help, if you will, than ever before in movies, and yet that does not guarantee that it is going to be a great product. We've seen movies that were less than, let's say, what they should have been.
Sure.
But your movie, the trailer clip that I saw, it is fantastic.
Thank you.
And you've cast this thing so wonderfully. Tell us about the cast.
Absolutely. So when we were ready to actually go into production for this film, the process, right, is to find your location. And then as you go into your location, you oftentimes will start casting, because a lot of times your cast will come from locations where you are at.
Locals.
It's really important, actually, to the filmmaking process, because certain locations give you tax credits. So it means they give you money back because you're spending money in their location.
Mm-hmm.
And so they help you fund either your movie or get capital back to your investors early. That was really important because COVID hit right before we started to film.
Oh, my goodness. And it changed so much.
Everything changed. And what was meant to be an international shoot ended up becoming a Vancouver shoot.
Yeah.
Still international, but not going more towards the east. And what we found was absolute true grace and blessing. It was an incredible, incredible move that we were able to make to go to Vancouver. We cast first Greg Kinnear and Terry Chen. Mm-hmm. These are the two dynamic duos. This is the partnership that is enduring. You watch it play out and you see the true friend in Greg Kinnear, Oscar-nominated actor.
Yeah.
Greg was the father in heaven is for real. He cut his teeth way early in the business with some of the greats, like Harrison Ford and Jack Nicholson. So
yeah.
These were big. It was big for us to actually land Greg. And why did we land Greg? It's because after he read the story, he immediately YouTubed people that have been able to see for the first time because of a doctor and the healing surgery of a doctor. And he was so deeply moved by watching and witnessing young children who are able to see for the first time, he immediately said yes.
Wow.
He said, yes, let me get involved. That was very powerful and exciting to have him come on board. Also, Terry Chen. Terry is breaking new ground. In so many ways, as you open this show, this is a new movie. This is a new type of story. For many, many years, over 100 years of cinema, We have not told the Asian immigrant's story that ends in a kind of success, that ends in a kind of American dream success. Yet, the China story, the Chinese story, the Chinese immigrant story, this is very, very important for us to know, because much of it has been silenced. Mm-hmm. What we have found is that most of the Chinese stories that come out are kung fu. They're about martial arts.
Right.
They're about ancient dynasties, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type films, or they're comedies. They're kind of a you don't take things seriously. This is one of the first times that we're seeing a protagonist start off at the beginning of the film, at the height of his career, doctor who's employing dozens and dozens of people and making a huge difference in the world. And then we track with his journey as an American, not as a Chinese American. He is an American, and he has made a massive contribution to this country. But we put little hooks in along the way. I will say, though, Terry Chen is a brilliant actor. And the way that he approached this project was with humility, grace, ton of professionalism, and was very excited to have the opportunity to be number one on the call sheet. Mm-hmm. It's rare for Asian men and Asian women and Chinese men and Chinese women in particular to be number one on the call sheet.
That's something.
They're supporting characters most of the time.
Yeah, and for the role that it looks like he played in this, he really carried that leading role out with wonder. It's just great.
He was able to internalize the good doctor in so many ways. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Fionnuala Flanagan. Longtime career. Fionnuala was stage actress forever and then broke into Hollywood and has been in some of the biggest great movies, both 30, 40 years ago, and even recently in The Hunger Games. She played a role. But Fionnuala was, I loved her in Waking Ned Divine. Mm-hmm. Way back, she played the wife, and I absolutely loved watching her in that. But our two young versions of the protagonist, Terry's younger version at 14 and his younger version at 8, both have just hit Hollywood incredibly. Jaden, who played our 8-year-old, was cast in the Marvel movie Shang-Chi, and then Ben now has just been named the new Karate Kid. They're going to do a remake of the Karate Kid.
A remake? Are you kidding?
It's coming.
Wax on, wax off.
Mr. Miyagi, paint the floor, paint the fence.
That's right.
Wax the floor, I think.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. I was going to ask about the kids because they are prominently displayed as their characters are shown in the acting in the trailer that you have out. So it's very clear. And you were talking about some of the difficulties with doing this kind of film a little bit earlier. Some of the things that make it groundbreaking is the fact that when you add children that age, that can bring some complications to the production.
Absolutely. So one of the things a producer is constantly doing is trying to keep your day. So you want to keep your day. And you shoot your day out, and it's a very meticulous process of figuring out which actors do we have in at which time, how do we keep our hours, and the setup for every single shot takes time. When you see in a film a shot stay on someone for about two to three seconds, and that's long, you gotta have, if you have the reverse shot from the person's shoulder, that's a whole nother 45-minute setup, right? So we're constantly doing that, and then if you have a three shot or an aerial shot, or something unique, and you have your DP, your director of photography, the cinematographer, if he's interested in doing something unique and different, your director wants to see a different look. You can't just do that quickly. It's not like taking your iPhone out and just walking around to the other side of the person. The lighting has to change. Everything. So if the sun is moving during the day, our lighting internally has to compensate for where the sun is at.
And that's right.
We got to block things. So back to the children. Children have union rules about working with child labor, and they can only work for so long before certain breaks that they have, and they have to get offset or you will be fined, and even a production shut down. It's very, very important, and they've made wonderful laws in this space. And so when we have children on, it's very serious. We are being as efficient as we possibly can, and it's the producer's job to make sure everybody stays within their lane. That the creatives don't get too creative.
And that can be a situation right there.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. But we were so lucky to work with Sarah and Ben and Jaden and so many that were just extraordinary kids. We really lucked out because I feel like you can cast your show by looking at videos mm-hmm. and picking who you feel embodies that character. But you don't know what's going to happen when they get on set. You don't know how their parents are going to be when they come on set. You don't know all the iterations of what you need. We were very lucky. You will see these kids in many more movies because of the level of professionalism they operated at. They delivered their lines. They internalized the character. They weren't just reading like you're on a stage in junior high. This was professional, and I watched Greg and Terry and our other actors just their eyes almost crossed. Wow. They couldn't believe the performance that these kids were giving.
Now, Greg, you mentioned already, I mean, I think back, his character in You've Got Mail is so memorable.
Yes.
I mean, that has to be one of the greatest roles he's ever played.
Absolutely.
And he's coming in and doing a role in basically an inspirational movie, something like this site movie. It's still in a, using your word, a lane that a lot of actors in Hollywood may not want to go. What was the motive, do you think, behind his desire to get associated with site?
You know, the conversations that I shared with Greg and with his team were conversations around the art of storytelling, and in particular, how to move an audience and move their heart is something that Greg is interested in and inspired to do. I think all of us go from success to a deeper kind of meaning mm-hmm. in our work, and when you come across an actor like Greg or Terry, the experience that I've had with them is when a story captures their heart, they might have a team that works on the business side of their persona. You know, their face in so many ways yeah. is their business, and they
sure.
have to be careful about where they put their face and on what posters they put their face. And that face, it has a value. Hollywood puts a value on everyone's face. People that buy your movie put a value on that face. The beautiful part, Mike, is when you meet actors that are at a unique stage in their career where they might get advice from their manager and advice from their team, their agents, but ultimately they make a decision based on how it moved their heart.
Oh, that's so good.
And that's Greg, and that's Terry.
Well, that is so good to know, and I think even knowing that fact, it's going to help a lot of us who watch the movie. That's going to be in the back of our mind, knowing that. And that's why I like doing these things so
yeah.
much. But it's not every day that I get to speak to a producer of a film like this one. It is so exciting. I would love to know, what was your studio experience? Being out there in Canada, what was the weather like? What was happening when you shot this thing?
Sure. So we decided to go for it. So this would have been 2020 in the fall. We felt like our script had gotten to a shooting script level. Our director had worked around the clock with me to make sure that we had it exactly where we wanted it, and we started then to go out to cast the main principal leads. When we were looking around the world at what was open and a possibility,
yeah.
Malaysia was one place we were looking at. We were looking at certainly Nashville. But as we turned the corner in the new year, 2021, really everything got worse and shut down. And everything except Canada in Vancouver. So when we were able to get in, we were considered an essential business to British Columbia. There is so much film happening in British Columbia, it is an essential business.
Yeah.
It's up there with oil and everything else. And so our ability to get in was critical, but we couldn't take our families, Mike. So this is two guys, producer and a director. Between us, we've got a lot of kids. And our wives at home, we had to pray about whether this was the right time to do this film or not. And we both felt like we were being called to do it, and mm-hmm. that it was important to get out in front and to offer this content when others may not and when studios may hold back. So we went into Canada in January of 2021. We had to quarantine for 2 weeks. They are very, very serious about that. The government calls you every day. When we were there, it was a little bit of a more mild winter. So our experience was At least for those 2 weeks, getting a little stir crazy inside that house that you can't take a walk, you can't do anything.
Wow.
No matter where you're at.
Oh, my word.
So it was...
I think a lot of us have forgotten the stringent rules and restrictions put down on, especially careers of people like you.
It was a lot to take on, and there were money implications to it. So we had to increase the budget on our film because we had to house anyone that came from outside of Vancouver for 2 weeks quarantined.
And before they could actually do a thing.
Before they could work. So when Greg came, he had to be in a house for 2 weeks without any interaction.
Now, one other thing about that is that at that point, I mean, in real time, when you were there in that two-week period, no one in the world knew yet what it was going to be like even 3, 4, 6 months down the road.
That's right.
It was a lot of uncertainty.
A lot of uncertainty, and each of the different hospital chains are operating differently. I don't even know if I should say chains, just each of the different hospital networks were operating differently. So now we're in Canada. This is not the same kind of a network of hospitals and medicine that we have here in the United States. And so everything was up in the air. Agents were worried about their actors. Managers were worried about how they were going to engage. I remember a couple days before Greg showed up, I got a great challenge from his manager. He said, I want Greg to have a Peloton.
A Peloton, there
he
you
goes,
go.
During the first two That's weeks it. That Greg is there, he needs to have some interaction with people that are riding bike, you know, exercising.
Sure.
He wants to stay. He doesn't want to... you know, it's hard to be in one place and not be able to leave. And so at the time, Peloton was, it had hockey stick growth. Everybody wanted a Peloton. And so I had to work with my fellow producers to make sure that we were able to get that Peloton in that place in record time. We got a Peloton in about 3 days.
Wow.
And we're able to set that up for Greg. He came in and was so thankful for that. But you know, we got through the quarantine, and then we spent five additional weeks of location scouting, and that's what we call our pre-production phase, where we were casting all of our characters, all the locals. We were having meetings with our production designers. We were looking at different options for props that are going to be, you know, we had to recreate 1960s China in
that's
Vancouver.
Right. That's right.
And we did all of that both practically outside in certain alleys. We dressed those alleys, which is putting a veneer on the outside of buildings. And then we actually built his childhood apartment in a studio.
Wow.
And had carpenters and electricians come in, and they created this unique and special place. We had an incredible production designer. His name is Chris August, who has relocated to Vancouver permanently. And Chris has done extraordinary work bringing China to life in the 1960s. We then had to go to MIT and Harvard in China, in Vancouver. So we had to find the right buildings that had that kind of a feel, because in the 1980s, The Good Doctor comes over to study at Harvard and MIT. He becomes one of the most brilliant students that those two incredible institutions have ever had.
Wow.
Extraordinary. Magna cum laude. Top scores in all tests. He was an extraordinary student. But we had to find those types of buildings, and not everywhere in modern time you're not going to find those types of classic East Coast looking buildings.
All in Canada. Can you hang with me for just a little bit more here?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm up against a break. This is Afternoons with Mike. I am with David Fisher, producer of the incredible movie Sight that is coming out soon. We'll be right back.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
With me is David Fisher, and we're meeting here at the NRB, which it's just been a wonderful week of getting to see people. David is the producer of Sight, and that's a movie that is going to be released on Memorial Day weekend, May 24th, in theaters around the country. And this is an exciting, exciting production. It's high quality. You guys have just done a marvelous thing. A lot of major actors are involved in it.
Yes.
And you've already talked in the last segment about the unique challenges. I mean, we all look back to COVID And there's a story in everybody's life about COVID. But I can only imagine the way COVID complicated your life during that season.
It was it was a time that, if I may, I will say, I went in as a professional filmmaker to execute on making a story, but there was a greater story that was happening, Mike, in my life. And it was a story of meeting the Father, truly, in my life for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
For the first time.
A little bit of the background on that is I grew up in a broken home. My dad loved me, but didn't quite work out with mom and dad. And so when I was 5, they got divorced. And I didn't have the kind of looking up to your father the way I felt other kids did. Jesus Christ was a part of my life from as early as I can remember. And the songs we would sing, and I loved to go to church. I felt like the Holy Spirit was very much a part of my life as well. Mom was always alive in the Spirit and engaging me. But I didn't quite understand the relationship with the Father. And as I entered into my young adult life, and as I started to get into stories, I would pray to Jesus. And I would ask for authority and power from the Holy Spirit to do His will, the Father's will. But I didn't quite know the Father.
That's
I didn't
right.
know how
yeah.
to relate. It wasn't until I found myself in a COVID reality in Vancouver, Canada, where restaurants were closed, where we had to kind of engage. We had long days. Some of these days were 16, 18-hour days. We had a house. We were lucky enough and blessed enough to have a house right on the ocean during this time in northern Vancouver. I stayed with one of my executive producers, and I stayed with my director. And I created that space for us so that we would have almost a respite on every day because we couldn't go to different places.
Right.
And that was just our little hermitage almost. It was like this little retreat. And I sat there in the morning, Mike, and I sat there at night in the coolness of the spring of Vancouver in British Columbia in the Rocky Mountains. And I looked at those mountains and I looked out at that water. And I looked at a moon that was as bright as the sun that would set and come back up at that kind of place of the world that we were situated. And the Father spoke to me. He engaged me in my heart, and I felt the love of a God who has always known me, who has
beautiful.
Journeyed with me. I was drawn deeper and deeper every day into journaling. I started to share that with my wife and my children back home, who are my greatest fans. And that was a tough time because we were gone from each other for almost 4 months. No father does that. Even if you travel a lot, you're able to come back once in a while. This was an extraordinarily unique time in world history.
Yes.
And so I couldn't go back and forth. I couldn't fly them in. But the Father was there sustaining us. It was a powerful moment for me.
Oh, it has to be when you think about that. And how good of God to just kind of shield you guys during what the world would say is one of the most dangerous times ever in our lifetime.
Yes.
And yet He shielded you and allowed you to get through. And then the bonus of a deep relationship with the Father.
Yes.
Well, what a story that itself is.
Yeah, it was so beautifully powerful. And I had so many conversations during that time with my director at night. And we would not just talk about the business or even the day that we shot. We would talk about what was most important. What were the dreams that we had? When I was talking about going from success into what? Significance. How do I transition from success into significance and actually begin to give back? I mean, it's a lot of what I would call the law of the gift. The more I give, the more I receive. And if we can give through this craft of storytelling, pour ourselves out, as Christ would say, like a libation, or as Scripture would say, like a libation, pour myself out. How could we then receive all the more with the grace and courage to do this?
I think that is so good, David. I am talking, if you just tuned in, to the producer of Sight. That's a movie coming out May 24th. That's Memorial Day weekend. David Fisher is the producer. This movie is going to be, I believe, one that touches hearts deeply. You know, you think about the hope that people who have vision issues. I myself was diagnosed almost 5 years ago with glaucoma, so I deal with that.
Yes.
So that's why this carries on some real personal feelings for me and anticipation to see this movie, because again, it deals with some of the technology breakthroughs, but before you have technology breakthroughs, you have to have brilliant minds, like what the character is portraying, but it's based on a real life story.
That's right.
So talk about the real life story on this for a moment, and their involvement, if any, in the production of the movie.
In 2014, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, and had the privilege to meet the doctor.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Ming Wang. And I met Dr. Ming Wang because I was invited to an engagement where some people from God's Not Dead, the project that came out a number of years back, some people that were involved in that project were there, and they wanted me to meet them. And so as I came in, Dr. Wang was pointed out, and they said, there's an Asian student, an atheist, in the movie God's Not Dead, who is the first one to stand up in class and say to that professor, God's not dead.
I remember that.
And that character was based on the life of Dr. Ming Wang. His pastor wrote the book, God's Not Dead.
What a connection. I would never have known that.
And someone brought this up to me the other day here at the NIB. They said, wow, you have actually now given us the backstory and the forward story of that character.
That's right.
Which is like a little offshoot.
Oh, my goodness.
But as I got to know Dr. Wang, we sat down and had a dinner together that week, and he told me his story, and I was speechless. I was absolutely speechless. And I said, this story needs to be told to the world. It was from there that we developed a unique partnership. He's really become a dear, dear friend of mine. And I helped him then create his autobiography and get it published. That took about 2.5 years.
That's a blessing to him in and of itself.
We were able to hire different people to help him write. It's been translated in several languages. It's been an audiobook has now been created for it. The book is called From Darkness to Sight, A Journey from Hardship to Healing.
Mm.
And we had to determine how vulnerable he was going to get. And ultimately, we decided to go all the way. Be vulnerable. Let people into your story, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's important to show the power of God in so many ways. And so we did that. In 2016, 2017, we began working more intensely on the screenwriting process, and I kept Dr. Wang very close in that entire time. He was someone that I wanted to consult to make sure we got it right. His background, of course, coming from mainland China, being an immigrant that came over, the subtleties, the racism he experienced, the hardship, the trials, the trauma, we had to convert all that onto the page,
yeah,
into words, and you got to tighten that, and you have to think of it in minutes. How many minutes is it going to take? Seconds is it going to take to establish that emotion, that feeling? And Dr. Wang helped us every step of the way. I loved the collaboration with him, and even to this day, I gave him an executive producer credit on this film. He was here every day this week. He just left this weekend. We've been screening the movie all over the country, and he actually has volunteered to speak live at every screening of his movie to thousands of people around the country now. And when I say thousands, I mean it. 50,000 plus people have screened this movie live on a 10-month tour that we created to get this movie out to the Asian American community, who rarely ever sees a movie, their story. And so to have Dr. Wang with us to engage in this process, yeah, has been... I can't imagine how someone could do a biopic without them.
I really think the involvement that you have given with Dr. Wang and the entire question about the Chinese relationship, because that is another backstory that really fits into this whole movie, and maybe the challenges that you faced in making the movie and the relationship between the U.S. and China from a political standpoint anyway, has never been more tenuous than it is right now. And yet you're doing this, showing the human side of the people from China that have come over to the U.S. That really had to be a moving thing for you.
It's one of the greatest accomplishments I feel this movie has. So I'm so glad you asked this question, Mike. As a young boy growing up here in the U.S. with the privilege that we have in the U.S., my understanding of the world outside of the U.S. is very limited. It's just how we're raised. It's not, it's no one's fault. It's just, it's part of a culture, and we have a very strong country in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought about China growing up, I thought about everything I saw in the movies, everything I saw or heard about communism and about the political environment. What I didn't realize, what we were able to bring and beautifully express, I believe, in this movie is the incredible honor and tradition and family values that each family has in China, the way that they support and care for and love their children in ways that I wasn't able to personify or incarnate the way prior to this movie.
Mm.
So what we set out to do with our cinematographer and our director was to create an environment in the childhood of Dr. Ming Wang when he would remember his past. We drew our audience into the warmth of his family, of that home. Poor, yes. A lot going on politically, yes. But this isn't a political film. This is a film about a boy's journey through hardship and how an 8-year-old saw the world, how a 14-year-old then saw the world and then came to the U.S. and the support that he received. So, techniques, warm lighting, wood colors.
It's beautiful.
Soft tones in the past. When we go to the present timeline, cold, sterile, the doctor needed to change. We establish him. Well, let me tell you about the story.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little bit about the
That's
totality
awesome.
Of the story. So, you know, this is a movie where we start at the height of an eye surgeon's career. Everybody wants to be around Dr. Wang. Everybody wants to be Dr. Wang. The press is around him at all times. Every time he has a surgery, it's like he's a miracle doctor. And he knows it. And he loves it. And so Greg gives him, jokes around with him about it. His assistant jokes around with him about it, that they have press basically in the surgery room with him. He loves it so much. But right off the bat, we watch him go home to an empty house. To a house that doesn't have family, to a house that has nothing in the fridge. We end that short little scene with him sitting alone at a diner, eating, doing work.
Yeah.
So at the height of a man's career, this, as an eye surgeon, this little girl from Calcutta, India, is rushed to him from across the world because she was intentionally blinded with acid in her eyes.
Yeah.
And that little girl, they were racing against the clock to restore her sight. And so as he came in contact with her, he realized that she reminded him and thrust him back into the Cultural Revolution that he grew up in, back in China during the 1960s.
Big personal tie-in.
It was a very, very important time to establish, but again, not politically. We established it through the eyes of a boy.
Yeah.
So we kept all of the kind of historical pieces out of it and just showed the emotion that he was experiencing with things, family life being changed and dramatically shifted, with schools being shut, with what is going on, why don't we have the food that we need. And as he is struggling in the present to both find a solution for this little girl from India, he has to find a solution for his past. Traumatic events that happened in his past that have been on his heart, on his back, his whole life. And don't we all, Mike, have a past?
Yes,
that
we all do.
That we have to, like, be at peace with? We can't change it.
Yeah.
We can't change it, but we know, and this is the lens of a faithful Christian, we know that God can heal that past if we just ask him.
You know, this is such a beautiful marriage between screenwriting and a person's testimony.
Yeah.
From their life. I mean, that is what's happened. And, you know, I am sure that not every producer of even good films has been able to capture and realize and really take a great advantage of to make this film what it is, what it's going to be for all of us when we get to see it as what you've done.
Thank you. My heart, I was an early student of philosophy and theology and understanding that whole world. I always wanted to preach the gospel. But I was called to something different. I was called to be a storyteller in a different kind of a way. And how this has played itself out chokes me up sometimes. My alma mater called me the other day to do an interview, and they asked me, how did your degree actually help position you to be a filmmaker? And I don't know if I had ever actually answered that question out loud, but as I started to, I got emotional.
Wow.
Because I realized the seeds that were planted by these incredible professors that I had in college about Aristotle and Plato and the four loves and understanding the difference between utility, a love of utility, a love of family, philia, a love of eros, passion, and love of agape, that driving ourselves toward agape love, which is selfless love, which is love that dies so that others might rise. As I started to learn that, I realized, my goodness, this is what I have infused into my projects. And not in a preachy way. I want to stay away from that. I want to be evangelistic, and I want to be used as a disciple that doesn't come and start there. It always starts with relationship first.
Right.
It's going back to the good, the true, and the beautiful. If we don't lead with beauty, Mike, we will lose this next generation.
That is so true.
We lead with beauty so that we can get to the good and the true.
Yeah.
When we start with the true, or when our beauty kind of is bad, they don't get to the good and the true the same way.
Right.
And so I feel like this is a great time, and it's a great challenge for storytellers and for radio producers and radio personalities to lead with beauty. If we can lead with beauty, the world will change. The world will be converted to the greatest story ever, and we will be a part of that story.
I think that part of the reason why this is so excitingly beautiful is because of the anointing of God on your life, because of what He's done in you. And you know, when you think back, just listening to your story today, a lot of this has happened in you along with the production of the film. You've been brought in real time into a deeper relationship with the Father.
Yes.
Right as this film is being made. So, you know, that love that you're talking about, they'll know us by our love.
Yes.
That is actually at work behind the camera as much as it is in front of the camera.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
It is really cool and humbling to be a part of it. And the greatest thing that I can continue to remind myself, that my family and my friends remind me, is not to get ahead of ourselves.
That's right.
Just hold on to that beautiful, beautiful hand of Jesus Christ, and don't get ahead of yourself, because it's so easy today in this culture to put our hope in success, to put our hope in the things that will not survive, that will go away, but we know what doesn't go away, and that is the deep love that we can share with each other, and it's always a reflection of the Son. It is always a reflection and the Father's love for His Son.
David Fisher, you're a humble man, and I can't wait to see this film. It is really going to be exciting. It's called Sight. The release date is May 24th. It's going to be Memorial Day weekend. That's a great time to see a movie that's going to make you smile and make your heart happy too. This is an inspiring movie, and again, May 24th, I can't tell you how much fun it has been for me to get to know you.
Thank you, Mike. Wonderful to be on The Shepherd.
I'll be back next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.